Blog Talk Radio.
Tuning in to the Next Chapter Widows Ministry talk show. This ministry is a ministry to embrace widows. And our scripture read, honor widows that are widows indeed, coming from 1 Timothy 5:3. I hope that everyone has had a great week and enjoying this cool weather that we're having. It's a little bit too cool for me in the morning and at night, but during the day it's okay. But I know a lot of people like fall weather. I like warm weather, but not 90 degrees, but nice, warm, sunny weather. Well, tonight, this is our third night with our special guest, Minister Jeanette Kendall. And we have enjoyed each one of her messages. And we have been so blessed by her being on our air and giving us these wonderful messages of encouragement and healing. We thank her again. I am not going to go back to her bio because if many of you who have been on the air know, I've already given that information, but we just wanted to thank her once again for being here on the third night. Well, we have a special message and something that we want to honor all and pray for all breast cancer survivors. I know a few days ago, we just got some bad message, some bad news about our pastor's wife, Miss First Lady Sylvia. Her sister passed in the last few days. She passed away of breast cancer. And we want to do a moment of silence for her just for a few moments because even though there are many survivors out there, there's some that just didn't make it through the storm. So right now we just want to pay tribute to her as well as others by just a moment of silence. Thank you. Well, tonight the topic is going to be breast cancer because this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, the month of October. And this is the last Tuesday in the month, and I thought it would be a good idea for us to talk about it because Minister Miles has been a survivor of breast cancer. And I also indicated in the last show that we would have questions for her, true testimonies, and answering these questions, and if any of you have gone through this, are going through it, this true testimony might encourage you. And also, maybe you can encourage others that you know that are going through this. Jeanette, are you on?
I am.
I am.
Mm-hmm.
I am here.
Yes. And like I say, once again, we thank you so much for being here on our show. We have really enjoyed you.
Thank you for the opportunity to share and to fellowship. Thank you.
Do you like for me to start off with the questions, or do you want to say something or start off with prayer or anything like that, or just going with the questions?
I want to just have a moment of prayer, and then you can go right into the questions.
Okay. Okay.
Well, Daddy, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you for every widow that is tuned in to hear. Lord, we thank you that a word will be spoken and that it will heal, that it will strengthen, that it will restore, that it will deliver, and that it will encourage. But more importantly, dear Father, that we are a word and that we will not return unto you void, but that we will be transformed tonight, dear Father, by a word that you speak to us. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge your presence and we invite you to come and to have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for that. Well, the first question I would like to ask is, even though that you were a minister of the gospel and you found out that you had breast cancer, what was your first thought?
I think the minister or doctor, anytime you hear something, it was, I was gripped, of course, with fear. The enemy always attack us with fear. I remember standing in the shower when I found it and weeping. But it was a cry out to God, and I think that that's what made the difference. But, of course, my first response was, fear. Yeah.
Okay. The next question is, what question did you have for God? What question did you have for God?
Yeah, that's really good, because I don't know if I asked him any questions. I think I just cried out to him, and sometimes when we cry out, he'll speak to us, and I think that's what I heard. I heard a response from him, and I guess my question was just in the form of a tear.
Okay. Because I know sometimes when we go through different things in our life, we always question, why me? Why at this time, whatever the situation is, but it's most of the time, why me? And I just wondered if you had any of those type questions to God, because sometimes we get so upset because it's happening to us. And we sometimes we don't think that it can happen to us.
Yeah, and I that's all true. That is very true. I know I had those questions when Joel transitioned, but I can't. I've been meditating and pondering and trying to go back, but I really didn't have that question to him. I think I just cried out. I just cried. It was a place of fear. Initially, and just a cry, but I can't recall really asking him why me, why now. No.
Okay. Well, the next question we have for you is: at what time did you grow strength to go on and begin to believe that God had the healing power that you needed to persevere?
Now that's good. I remember I called them armor bearers, just some sisters in the body of Christ that came by my job and picked me up and took me to the doctor. And it was when I had finished seeing the oncologist that was ready to, do what he felt medically was the best thing to do. Which was, proceed with removing my breast. But I remember he sent me upstairs because I didn't give him an answer. I wouldn't speak. And I guess I just had a lot of things going through my head. In particular, I remember with Joel, and one thing I did hear with the Holy Spirit was, we have the power in our words. We're raising up kids and report card would come home the Lord would always tell me, you know, what you going to say if it's something you didn't want to see on the report card, you know, like, oh, their test scores are low. I would always say, well, I believe that they're coming up. So I think I kind of agitated the doctor, but it was a setup because he sent me upstairs to see the reconstruction surgeon. And when I got up there and after the reconstruction surgeon finished, he put his hand on my shoulder, and the Lord said I could release then, and I just began to cry. And I remember kneeling beside that examining table, and, you know, there's a difference between a cry and a weep. You know, one comes from a deep place, and that's what I did. But it was in that time and in that spot when I got my strength, because the Spirit of the Lord said to me, as you walk, I'll heal you. And I remember just as the tears were pouring down, they dried up. And I stood up and I said to Rebecca and Terrace, I said, I'm ready to go now. Take me back to work. And that's where I had my moment of empowerment, of strength to go on. And when I got back to work, my supervisor at the time had came over really for to be consoled because there were things going on in the workplace. And the whole time she's talking, I was talking to Daddy, like, well, do I tell her, do I not tell her? And she was leaving, and when she was leaving the office, I said, I need to tell you something. And her name was Rebecca, too. And she came back, uh-huh. And she said, don't have me crying. And that was another moment of empowerment because she shared her message that the Lord had given her pastor. And the thing was that as they carried the water came wine. And, you know, a lot of times we hear that story and we never think of when the water became wine. We just know that it did. And he had given me that word just moments before I left the doctor's office that as I walk, he'll heal me. And that was my strength to go on. That was my moment.
Well, Jeanette, I want to share something that I don't know if you remember, but you had told me, Miss Mandy and I, about your having discovered that you had breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And we tried to encourage our widows. You were a widow at the time.
Yes.
And we came out to you, to your home. And we brought the oil, and Mandy and I prayed over you.
Yeah.
And I remember something, and I hope you don't mind me sharing.
No.
But we're praying, I touch that part of your breath
mm-hmm.
with oil and praying. And I felt, I didn't tell you how I felt, but it scared me. When I
mm-hmm.
touched, while I was praying, I touched your breath, and it was like it was in your body, it was in your breath. It seems like it was that tumor was the size of a golf ball. it seemed
yeah.
very huge. And when I did that, even though I was beginning to pray, it took me for a loop because I was trying to keep my emotions because here I am coming there to comfort you. And all of a sudden I was losing it because I felt how big it was.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it sort of scared me.
Yeah.
You know, I never had that. I never experienced that. And I wasn't I really wasn't expecting that to happen or my feelings in touching that. So, you know, it's a miracle.
Yeah.
And it's a blessing what God has done because I felt the size of that tumor. And it wasn't
yeah.
just like a little seed. It was like
no.
a golf ball.
It was
remember that. Miss Manny and I remember that very clearly. But we didn't express it to you because we didn't want, we came to you to comfort you, not to be upset, get you upset. But we got a little, you know, upset within ourselves. We talked about it on our way home. But and to know that God can heal, you know, he's a healer. And we got to believe that. I know sometimes things doesn't always turn out the way that we want them to be, and I'm not sure why he doesn't heal. He heals some and don't heal others. This was their time. I don't know the answers, but he is a healer, because you have no cancer cell in your body now, right?
And I remember, and Mary, I think that's why when you asked me what was when you felt it, you know, because when I got, by the time I got to the doctor, it was, and they measured it, it was 6 centimeters. But I remember that night in that shower, all I could do was cry because I actually felt it locking up. It was like I could feel it taking form in my body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was huge. And
yeah,
we went from 6 centimeters by the time I got to chemo. And when I finished radiation, before radiation, by the time I got ready to have the procedure, it was 0.7. When they went in, they removed a 0.7, which is like maybe the width of your fingernail. And
mm-hmm.
it's 0.7. Yeah. It was huge, man.
Yeah.
It was huge.
Uh-huh. So,
it was all.
Thank
it was
Lord.
Huge.
Yes,
yeah.
Like I say, it was scary. It was scary when I, you know, I just didn't want to have an experience or feel that anymore. That happened. Yeah, it was something else. But anyway, I thank God for his healing power.
And, you know, you said something, Mary. You said, you know, we never know why God heals some and he doesn't heal others. You know, and I think that's a question that you have. But you know what I think is comforting is that we can really know that we're all healed, and how he manifests it, you know, is really his will, you know, but we all are healed by, you know, by his stripes. And I don't say that to be a cliche, but it really is a truth, you know, but how he manifests it, because I tell you the reality of what I really went through, I don't think I really understood the depth of it. I remember standing in my Sunday school class, or fulfillment hour class, we call it, and standing in a circle, and I had gone to one of our members. We were probably like the same age, and I remember visiting her at her parents' home with her breast cancer, and she transitioned. He didn't manifest her healing on this side, and I remember it was some time later, and I was standing in the fulfillment hour class in the circle for prayer when it hit me. Oh, my God, I could have transitioned. You know, I think
right.
the real reality hit
yeah.
me. Yeah. Yeah. And then,
yeah.
I mean, I was the one at my job that came and spoke, another member, and she came and spoke wonderful, did an outstanding job. And she says, oh, I was stage two. What stage were you? I said, stage two. And you don't realize, you know, her stage two, she had an experience with her process that caused her heart to fail. So right now she has her heart is not beating on its own, and she can't have anything done about it until the 5-year mark. So we all experience it, but our outcomes are so different.
Right.
Know?
Mm-hmm.
They really are. They're so different.
And that is very true, because some people don't get sick going through the chemo or the radiation, and some do. So you don't know why, you know, some are healed and some are not. Just like First Lady Flippin' sister just passed away. She fought a long fight. Now, it wasn't just, you know, something overnight, but she fought a long fight, but at least she's not doesn't have to suffer anymore.
Amen.
Well, we have a question for you.
Okay.
The last question is somewhat you have answered some of it, but I'm sure you can sort of put it in a clearer form. Take us through this dark place and to the light during this journey.
Oh, the dark place was, of course, finding it, and as you stated, I was a widow, and, you know, I'd just come back from a
was filming hour because it was on Valentine's. So we had had a little Valentine fellowship at the church, and I just come home and was taking my shower. And it was a dark place when I found it. Like I said, I was gripped, of course, with tears, emotions, and fear. I went into work, and I remember telling a couple of the ladies that I worked with, you know, because you can't tell everybody.
Right. Exactly.
And they were there to encourage me to do the next step, which was to go and have a biopsy done. And that was a fearful moment, laying on that table, you know, as they went in to clip and to confirm if it was a tumor or not. And that was a dark moment, you know, just laying there, you know, still, silent. You have to be still, you know, and the nurse is telling me, I got you. And then waiting for the doctor who said, I'll call you in 3 days. If you don't hear from me in 3 days, all is well. And I didn't hear from him in 3 days. So I said, okay, you know, God told me in the shower it would be removed. And I still didn't put the two together, but I was like, okay, then it's done. And then the call comes in. And I remember I got angry at the doctor because I was like, you know, why didn't you call me? He was like, well, I was a little tired. I was thinking, how can you be tired? You know, when you're dealing with people's lives like that. But that was a dark moment because I had to face the reality that although I had missed the three-day call, the call came in. And it confirmed what I could feel locking up in my body and what the Lord had already told me, it would be removed. But I was just thinking maybe I might sidestep that it. Maybe it's not there at all. And that was a dark moment. And I think another dark moment was not telling my children or my mother for 6 months because I didn't want their worry and doubt and unbelief because I had gotten a word from God, which was actually a moment of light. You know, I couldn't tell them. I know the Lord told me not to tell them. And when I did disclose it to them, I knew that they would be in a better place to join me in what I knew God had done. You know, so those were some of the dark moments were finding it, feeling it, waking up in your body. I remember another dark moment was when I went to the oncologist. And he drew on my breast with an ink pen. That was so degrading, and it was such a dark moment because, you know, ink doesn't come off easy. And I felt like the enemy was trying to laugh at me and mock me because I had to go home and shower and try to remove. I didn't need to be reminded where it was. I found it, you know, so that was the last thing I need. I didn't need ink drawn on my body. Show me where it was, you know.
Right.
And that was, you know, because I had to look at it again. You know, and sometimes looking at the thing that God has placed before us that doesn't always look pleasing is a dark moment, you know. It really is. It's a gripping time, a really gripping time. So, but I can say you made a statement about how everybody's experience is different even through the process. And for me, going through chemo and radiation were not dark moments for me, even the procedure. And I think it was because God had prepared my body. So my dark moments was leading up to that initially in the beginning and the different steps I had to go through, the biopsy, the doctor not calling, but actually going through chemo. I guess maybe another dark moment was when I went to my beautician and I was doing some different things. I was confessing that my hair was not going to come out, although they told me, oh, you got three drugs and they're the monster. And by the second chemo, your hair is going to come out. And I was like, oh, no, I'm just believing that will be my testimony. And being in my at my beautician, and she shampooed my hair, and she was gripped with tears. And I had to look in the mirror at my hair as it was coming out. And that was a dark moment because I had to cry. I had to cry. But when I finished crying, I said, shave it off. And I left there, went and got some big earrings, and I worked that. And then I remember calling my mom and saying, thanks for shaping my head. But, you take those things for granted, you know, but those are important things. You want to have your head shaped. And I thank God she took time to form my head. But it was a dark moment when I had to look in my mirror at my beautician, because she didn't want to give me the mirror. And I said, give me the mirror. I got to see. And when I looked, I said, oh, no. You know, and I just standing and confessing that my hair would not come out, that my testimony would be different when I went back for chemo. But it wasn't. That was a medical truth. But I just, you know, had her to shave it off, and I worked it. I worked with it. But that was a dark moment when your hair comes out, you know. And I kept going to the beautician every 2 weeks, just like I had a head. So I remember one Saturday my mom called me, and she laughed, and she said, where are you going? I said, to get my hair done. She laughed. You got no hair. I said, well, if I got to wait until I have hair, then I don't have faith, you know. And, you know, and going every 2 weeks like I was going prior and go now, I just kept doing it. And that was a real faith act, you know. And I guess now as you're asking that question, it's like the Holy Spirit's reminding me of other little pockets. I remember I had to go and get a thyroid a procedure done, just to make sure. That was a dark moment, having to go and have that little thing done on my neck. And I was like, I don't want a scar. And praise God, I don't have one that, you know, just stands out. I have a reminder that it was negative. Coming out of the procedure was, was a pocket of a moment.
Okay. And 1 minute, because we only have 3 more minutes left. In 1 minute, how can you give us, in your last few words, encouragement for those out there? And ending with a short, short prayer, because I only have a couple of minutes. I do have an announcement that I need to make.
Okay. Words of encouragement: take authority and be obedient to what God tells you to do. Take authority, speak the word of God in your situation. Those would be my two words of power to you, because they carried me through everything. Lord, we just thank you right now for every woman that's listening. And as we have set this time aside for breast cancer awareness and acknowledgement of those that have transitioned and those that are thrivers like myself, God, I thank you, Father, that you will continue to allow our bodies to be a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable unto you, that we might show that you are a healer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much.
Thank
taking
you,
time
man.
To give us those personal testimony of breast cancer, and I'm sure it wasn't easy, but just knowing that you are a survivor, that's a blessing. So thank you once again for being on our show for the last 3 weeks, and it's been great. It's helped me out a whole lot, because I haven't had to prepare what message I was going to bring, and all I had to do was just make sure that you got on the air. And you did a great job. Thank you so much for being willing to do that. The announcement that I have is our book. We had to get several proofs to make sure that everything was okay. And I just received the third proof and making sure that everything, we did make some changes last week of some things on the book cover. I have a new picture and everything. And I just got it. I got it in my hand right now. And I must say, God has put together a masterpiece. because it looks so clean. It's showing exactly what God wants it to be. The name of the book is A Widow's Touch: True Stories of Encouragement and Healing. And the foreword was done by Dr. William E. Flippin, senior pastor. And it looks great. Our color is purple. Our ministry is purple and silver. And it is absolutely, I looked at it and before the show started, and it looks great, and I know it's going to encourage a whole lot of widows out there. So it's going to be $14.99. Really, we're going to sell it for $15. And just knowing that this is a great Christmas present that can be given to many. There are so many widows and churches and stuff that I know that you hear about. Tell them about the book. If you want us to do a book signing at your church or any location, other location, please let us know, because we're not going to do one book signing. We're going to do many. So we're going to be all over the place between now and the end of the year. We're going to go further than that, but we're going to be busy, and we put us on your calendar and let other people know that you have a book, 26 Widows. True stories are in this book. So get your copy. Look forward to purchasing your copy. It's only $15, and it's going to bless you or someone else. And that's all I have to. And we have a book sign. Our first book sign is going to be at the Greater Piney Grove Baptist Church on November 13th. Both services, and after the last service, which is a 10:30 service, and normally ends about 12:30. Immediately after, we're going to have a book signing party at my home. So that's going to be the first book signing at the Greater Piney Grove Baptist Church on November the 13th, and that is a Sunday, two services, and the party afterwards. So may God be the glory. What He has done in putting all of this together. It's been a lot of work and a lot of days for the last, more than a year I've been working on this, but I've been really working, Sheila and the editor, the three of us, been really working on this book for the last year continuously, talking, doing conference call, back and forth, because writing a book and changing stories and everybody writes differently. So we had to do a lot of editing, going back and forth and making sure we got the cover. We had a cover designer that helped us with this also. And he did a great job. And just that everybody that was a part of this, even the stories, have done a great story to put this together. And we just give God the glory for what He's done and what He's going to do. And just like the pastor said, that it's going to be, this is not just the, on the back of the book it says, A Widow's Touch is a must read. This is no means the next chapter, last book. The best is yet to come. Praise the Lord. And that's the end of our show tonight. Thank you once again, Jeanette, for being on. And also, thank you, audience, for being there to encourage her by listening to her testimonies and her other messages that she has given us in the last three Tuesdays. Be blessed and have a great week, and tell everybody about A Widow's Touch. Good night.
Good night. Thank you.